time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Statistically less than when we didn't have NIL. They told me the sport was over and all the guys were going to go to five schools. And in fact, that didn't happen.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
You don't really know exactly what's going on because agents are inflating stuff. School collectives are inflating stuff. Players are kind of probably inflating. So it's hard. It's hard to tell.
And SI's Pat Forte.
If you targeted Drake May and said, we're going to go buy that kid, you did bad scouting. I mean, that dude's as Carolina as it can get. His dad played there. His brother was a basketball player. He turned down Alabama to go to North Carolina.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. It is National Signing Day, or it's early signing day, but everybody signs early.
Yeah.
It's National Signing Day. Just like squeezing it in there right before Christmas. As we've said, not the best marketing plan for the sport.
Not the best marketing plan, not the best sanity plan for the coaches. It's not a great plan for much anybody.
Yeah, there's not, it's not like there's nothing going on, right? We've got bowl prep. We got the coaching silly season cycle. Throw in the signing day, the transfer movement. Yeah, right? Slow time. Mm-hmm. Perfect time to have
holidays. Why not? Let's do it. I believe Pat declared Alabama's dynasty over.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Uh-oh. Yeah, how are we feeling about that?
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. They better show up and actually perform. I got to see it on the field. I don't want to see it on signing day. I want to see it on the field.
Fair enough. You do have to deliver. However, number one recruiting class, 6 5 stars, which generally top 30 players. 14 of the top 100 recruits in America are going to play for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
It's not bad.
Pretty good.
14%
pretty good.
The top 100 players are going to Alabama. Strong work by Nick Saban on this one. Again, this is not new. 8 of the last 10 years, they have gotten at least double-digit top 100 players. So this is nothing new. But they flip Caden Proctor, this massive offensive lineman from Iowa, who was committed to Iowa, was just the priority recruit for Iowa. You know, you can say all sorts of reasons why someone shouldn't go to Iowa, but being an offensive lineman is not one of them.
Right.
Like, they can develop an offensive lineman. Presumably there was any amount of attention and detail and booster and anything you wanted, Caden Proctor. And at the end of the day, he said, yeah, I'm going to Alabama at the last minute and flipped. A tough blow for Iowa. But to me, that's just like, you know, if I follow – I just think with Nick Saban, it's if I do what this man tells me, my chances of being in the NFL are greater than if I do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No doubt about it. I mean, it's proven. The pipeline is proven, and Alabama gets what it wants. That's the bottom line.
And then we spent a lot of time obviously talking about NIL and recruiting and everything, but obviously it does go beyond that. And the one thing that you talk to recruiting people and people just in that space about when you say, you know, you ask them what determines where a kid goes, like these days in the era of NIL, like is anything above NIL? And the one thing is getting to the NFL, like a coach that can get you to the NFL. And that's, you know, part of what, and when you have both of those things, hey, NIL and a coach that can get you to the NFL, then maybe that's what we're seeing in a history of success, in an incredible, you know, blue blood program and all this stuff. And there you go.
Hard to say no, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just, I know there's other programs that are doing really well, but it's like, well, we compete for championships. We have a incredible fan base. It's a great town to go to college in and got a pathway to you being a first round draft pick. And not only that, but succeeding in the league. So yeah, it's,
no, that's the one, the stat that Saban has been wielding like a club for the last year was like the, I don't know what it is, X billion dollars worth of contracts that his Alabama players have signed. You know, I mean, just a staggering sum. That's like, okay, you can go get $500,000 in NIL money, or you can come here and become a multi-generational millionaire if you do everything that we think you can do.
Yeah. Keon Keeley is the other one. They flipped from Notre Dame early. He decommitted from Notre Dame earlier in the fall, but they won a heck of a battle for him. He's a top 10 player, edge rusher from Tampa. I kind of feel it was kind of similar. It's like, all right, I like Marcus Freeman. I like Notre Dame, but it's like, this is a business decision. I don't know what you can and can't do. And it's just, this is Saban just coming in and taking what he wants, as you put it.
Mm-hmm.
Second was Georgia. Not again, not a real surprise. Not as good as some Georgia classes, but very, very, very good. I don't know. I guess they didn't go number one. Didn't they beat Alabama last year in this thing, or 2 years ago?
Yeah,
they beat them once.
A&M got them last year.
Yeah, A&M last year. But I think like they might have been rivals number one 18, 19, 20 or something like that. I mean, that or 19, 20, 21 classes.
Nine top 100, just one 5-star prep player on 24/7. I guess that's it. Although they are working Travis Hunter hard, right? We got, I don't know what's happened in the last half hour, but it's like a Travis Hunter commitment or whatever. I mean, that's the thing. It's a dual purpose.
Didn't Hunter tweet out something like, if I get a certain amount of, subscribers.
100,000 subscribers to like his YouTube.
Yeah.
He'll announce his commitment.
He's at 94,000 right now.
He's gonna get there. He'll get there. He'll get there tonight. Yeah.
Well, if he gets it in the next like 45 minutes, we'll tell you where he's going.
That's right.
this is a time to be alive. Oral Roberts said, you know, for X number of X amount of money, I will be healed of whatever was supposedly killing him. And this is Travis Hunter's version of that.
You keep lowering it.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to need a million. It's not coming in. I got to group me 600 grand. Texas is third. Arch Manning, obviously the big prize. He will be an early enrollee. That is, you know, we were really looking forward to all the drama of the Arch Manning recruitment. It just never materialized. Mm-hmm. We tried. There was that one recruiting weekend. Texas spent a gazillion bucks and one glass of Johnny Walker Blue that we believe Cooper drank. But we don't know that Cooper Manning drank it. We just believe it.
That's close enough. Belief is the same thing as knowledge.
Yeah.
We're going with it.
Blame the Mannings for the lack of drama. They purposely didn't want drama, and they really didn't. They got what they wanted. There wasn't a whole lot of drama.
No circus. No circus, damn it. But yeah, Arch Manning's one and only tweet. Committed. Yeah. Texas. That's it. Yeah. Boom.
Well, they're a very private family. They don't like to be out there in the spotlight. Yeah. I mean, I was watching the World Cup and Peyton Manning showing up in World Cup commercials. I mean,
Manning's taking over, man. Mannings,
but at some point, it's like, okay. How about an actual soccer player gets this money? Anyway, that was big. Miami is in at number four. Mm. Mario Cristobal is a hell of a recruiter. When he's at Oregon, he consistently landed these classes too. But he's also got John Ruiz and all of that going on. They did a monster job in the state of Florida, though. That's the main thing. This program's a couple years away, but if he strings a few of these together and consistently lands those South Florida kids, I know everyone, the U is back is almost worse than Texas is back, but the U can get back. And this is how you get back.
Yeah, you get back with talent, and they're getting it. He had Phil Knight at Oregon, and now he's got John Ruiz at Miami, and they're using those things. And I think Phil Knight is still supplying the Ducks with some stuff. We've seen they've had a great day. It seems like they've flipped a couple of guys.
Huge day.
Yeah, big guys. So the NIL train is roaring. But you're right, you know, that's it's just gotten so old that Texas is back and the U is back. But you get back by putting these classes together and stacking these classes like this.
Here's what I like about the Miami class. They got two of the top three offensive linemen. And two of the top 10 edge rushers. This isn't flashy. Right. Yeah. If these guys are as good as projected, and I will say this about high school scouting, and I know how hard these guys work, at Rivals, at 24/7, at any of them, it's way better.
Way better.
I mean, because that you can watch film on everybody. Everyone's got a huddle page.
Yeah, right.
It is way better than those old days. Like, and remember in Blindside where it was like, right, then wasn't part of Blindside, like they sent a video to Tom Lemming or something like that, and he just like watches, and like it was so random who would make the list, and if Notre Dame was recruiting a guy, he'd rise up because they were getting more subscriptions. Like it's pretty good now, and these schools are all in on the scouting, and obviously if everyone's after them, I'm going to assume they're pretty good. So if those two turn out, at like you have an offensive line like that in 3 years, now you really got something.
We'll see. You know, again, that's another place I want to see it on the field. I'm more confident what I'm going to see on the field at Alabama than I am at Miami, but they are bringing him in, but yes, you got to coach him up. You got to put him in the right place, and you got to not quit in games like where you lose by 26 to Pittsburgh and 42 to Florida State, 24 to Duke.
Their number one recruit that they were going to get is a cornerback, Cormani McClain, out of Lakeland, Florida. He's the number two overall player, and it was a real fight between them and the Florida Gators.
Yeah.
And Cormani did not sign on Wednesday, at least at this telling at 5:20 p.m. Got to classify everything when it comes to high school recruiting because Coach Prime got involved.
Ooh.
Mm.
Coach Prime has talked with Cormani reportedly and said, you want to play cornerback in the NFL? You got to come learn from the best. So we don't know. They could get zero. You get not get Cormani, and he may not get Travis, but he also could be stepping out on the field next year in Colorado with the number one, first of the number one recruit last year and the number two recruit this year, both cornerbacks.
That'd be something.
How about that?
Two lockdown corners in Colorado.
Not that.
We'll see, but holy. Yeah, Colorado fans are going to be like, what is that? I didn't know guys could run that fast. Like,
that's the thing. There's still some drama out there about who's just verbaled and who is actually signed. So, you know, they, especially in this day and age, and I'm not saying this is specifically the case with Cormani McClain or any other player, but what's the agreement? And can the agreement actually be acted upon in terms of financial agreement? You know, that might be a factor in some people who are not yet signed.
Wait to the end. Wait to the end, man. Ross, I think you mentioned Oregon. I don't know who did. So wild week for them.
Yeah.
They have their quarterback, Dante Moore, poached by UCLA. He decommits over the weekend after he visited UCLA and then decommitted on Sunday, I think, despite a late furious push by the Ducks. So that's not helping them, but they immediately go out and get Austin Novosad, who is committed to Baylor, a four-star quarterback, to flip to Oregon. So Austin bails on Baylor, which is Baylor should have known. Do not recruit a guy named Austin. That's not going to work out. They hate you. They hate Baylor and Austin. Anyway, they lose Austin Novosad. He goes to Oregon. And then the Ducks, they also get Peyton Bowen, who's like one of the top defenders in the state of Texas, to decommit from Notre Dame, go to Oregon. So it's like musical chairs out there.
Mm. Yeah. If you combine, I think, Oregon's high school recruiting class in the transfers, you know, they'd be, I think, point total, according to James Crepia, who covers the Ducks, they'd be number two behind Alabama right now if you combine those two, you know, together, which I guess at some point we need to start doing that, right? But transfers have got to be considered. I know they have separate transfer class rankings in signing, like, I guess, high school rankings, but really, I mean, they probably need to come together. And if you do bring Oregon's together, James said that they'd be number two behind Bama. So, yeah, huge, huge class.
Yeah, they got DJ Uiagalelei's brother.
Ah, yeah.
Right.
6'6", 270-pound rush end. Got his commitment today. And he was obviously being recruited by everyone. So that was another coup. But yeah, that's to your point, Ross. Yes, a combo ranking of who is your new class, transfer or freshman, and then where do you rank? That's what we really need.
It's impossible to figure this stuff out. It's the problem. Like,
right,
Michigan is ranked 17th in the rankings. So you sit there and say, well, you know, they just after going to the playoff and then having an undefeated season, they should be doing better than that. And they do not have a single top 100 player. So it's like, all right, they got some guys, but this is not what you want with that kind of momentum. Yet they are number one in the 24/7 transfer rankings.
Right.
Seven commits, including I think five that are projected to be starters next year.
Yeah.
So who the hell cares about high school kids? Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the point here is coaches want to know who can play at this level for sure, because I've seen them, I've played against them. You know, we've got tape against of them against other college players, and this is who can play. We'll take them. Sure. I can understand that. And the other thing, that's another reason why having a December signing period hurts the entire enterprise of recruiting, high school recruiting, because I know Devin Leary's really good. Arch Manning, I think, is probably going to be pretty good, but I know Devin Leary, who's going to Kentucky, is probably going to be a more impactful 2023 player. He's going to be the starter from the minute he walks on campus at Kentucky, NC State transfer. Arch Manning's going to probably be in a battle with Quinn Ewers, and he's 18 years old. So, you know, there's just a whole lot of reasons why the transfer portal's more compelling and probably more important in the short term.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question. Devin Leary is going to be huge at Kentucky. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we were just talking about Cormani McClain, the cornerback, top-rated cornerback. He's listed at 165 pounds.
Ooh, goodness.
6'2". And I'm, you know, and fantastic athlete and great cover, and he'll get there. But, yeah, you can sit there and say, well, right on day one, what do you want? So it's – I don't know. Again, this is what kind of has taken the – this thing used to be so much fun.
Right.
So much fun. Notre Dame, the vaunted number one recruiting class of Notre Dame, is now ranked 9th. They lost Keeley. They lost Bowen. They lost a bunch of guys. Still four top hundreds, but they're 9th. Marcus Freeman obviously brought a lot of excitement on the recruiting trail. In the end of the day, this looks a lot more like a Brian Kelly class.
Yep. Yep. Gotta finish. And
sorry, Irish fans. It's true. Probably not as good as a Brian Kelly class. Yeah, you gotta close. And when you're in with those top 10 guys, that's the thing. Like, you've gotta fight to the last second. It's never easy with those guys.
No.
Because everyone's gonna keep recruiting you.
Yep. Now, this is I was just looking at some Notre Dame stats in their class, and this is from Pete Sampson, who covers the team for The Athletic. This is pretty interesting and does kind of paint a different picture, although I know they've lost some guys, but he's doing the percentage of a recruiting class, like a 4 and 5 stars. So the percentage of each one of Notre Dame's class, he went back 13 years, each class, and totaled up the percentage of in each class of 4 and 5 stars. And it looks like the average is around 55-60%. Of the last 13 years, and this year's class is 83%, actually. Last year's class was 81%. So the players they did sign seem to be pretty good, but really I know good. They did lose a few, but still seems like for them, I guess, a strong class.
They lost that super elite player, right? But they have 14 guys in the top 250.
Yeah.
Their highest rated guy is 49. So, they, you know, it's kind of classic Notre Dame. You got a whole bunch of really good players. But do you have that great one?
Big decision.
And occasionally they do.
Yep.
Michael Meyer was certainly, you know, a great one. But do you have that great elite game? So, but let's put this at that. It's his first recruiting class. So,
yeah. They'll take a lot of momentum into 2024, including they did have my favorite commitment. It was a 2024 kid whose name I do not have in front of me. But he did the hat thing. This was like 3 days ago at his school. And he, like, started to put one hat and threw it to the side, started to put on, like, Alabama, said no. And then he pulled out his dog dressed as a leprechaun.
Oh, God.
And put on a Notre Dame hat.
Oh,
that was impressive.
Brilliant.
I laughed at that one. I did. If you can dress your dog as a leprechaun or any other member of your family as a leprechaun, I like that as a prop.
All right. I got to go find this.
Does he have a little hat on?
Yeah, I had a hat. Yeah. Yes. I sent this to you guys.
Oh, crap.
I emailed it.
Yeah, we probably ignored that.
Yeah, I've you ignore all my stuff.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to see this dog. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I like props. I like any time we do the props. I like the signing day press conference. Like, I need more of that in my life.
Right, right. You know.
Remember when Stanford was really rolling and they'd all come out, they'd put on the glasses with the little
tape. The Nerd Nation glasses.
Yeah, Nerd Nation. They were like, what'd they call it? Like intellectual violence or
something?
That was it. Intellectual brutality.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're like, this guy's a nerd, huh? He's a monster. I was doing some research today. There was a year that, not that long ago, Stanford signed like four top 20 players.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I wonder whether they can get back. Like,
I don't know. Not in the current climate unless things change dramatically.
It's tough. It's tough, but boy.
Yeah.
You know.
This guy, I'm watching this video, Pat. This is hilarious. Yeah. First of all, he acts like he's going to put the Notre Dame hat on. He actually throws the Notre Dame hat, too. And then he pulls out this dog. Then he pulls out the dog, which is hilarious. Yeah, I mean, this is you guys got to Google this. And the dog's not fully dressed in the leprechaun. It's just the front of him. And his front two paws are supposed to be like, I guess, you know, the feet of the leprechaun. He has the fake hands just hanging down. It's hysterical. Hysterical. That's great. That's great.
Good dog.
Yes.
Good dog.
Very good dog.
Good dog. Good dog. Yeah. We're going to have to sort this out. So I had this on the NIL. NIL becomes legal about 18 months ago, 17 months ago. This is the first real recruiting class where NIL is a 100% factor. A lot of kids were committed before things last year.
Yep.
So the fear amongst the Chicken Little set. See where I'm going with this. Alabama's going to sign all the players. And a couple rich schools will get all the players. So Alabama did get all the players, but they always get all the players. Like I said, eight of the last 10 years, they get 10 or more top 100 players. So nothing changed there. Here are the stats, though. Okay. This is what was supposedly all would go to a couple schools and there'd be no competitive balance, right? So from like 2017 to last year, the top five, whoever finished top five in 24/7, they signed those five teams cumulatively signed an average of 47 of the top 100 players. Almost half the top 100 players went to five schools.
Wow.
If you go back a decade, it's 43.7. Alabama was in it every single year. Georgia and Ohio State, I think eight or nine of them. Clemson, LSU, like those, you know, the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
These are the only five teams to win a title there in the thing. So nearly half, anywhere between 44% and 47% of the top 100 kids every year, we're going to the top five classes, okay?
Yep.
And now we get NIL, and and everybody screamed, the top schools are going to get all the players. There's no chance, all of that. And I've done all these stories with Andy Schwartz and these other guys. And the economist saying that ain't how it works. It will not happen. The talent will actually spread out maybe a little bit more. There'll be no impact. And as we speak right now, of the top 100 players, 39 are going to the top five schools.
Okay.
Alabama, Georgia, Miami, Texas, Ohio State. Mm-hmm. There are two, three, possibly four, but probably two or three more that will go to one of those five schools. So we're going to get to 41, maybe 42. Statistically, less than when we didn't have NIL.
Yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They told me the sport was over. And all the guys were going to go to five schools. And in fact, that didn't happen.
Talent a little more spread out in the portal too. We talked about on the show about how the portal is in a way, it's, I don't want to say completely like leveling the playing field, but it is spreading out the talent more in the quarterback position, especially now that they can go and move and play immediately. I mean, the talent is definitely more spread out than we've seen in college football. And that's a great stat there, Dan. I mean, you know, you're basically status quo or a little more. So
five less. Well, let's say it gets to 42. It's five less, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Through two, three, four less, right? It's called the invariance principle. Mm. And I got to tell you, the invariance principle is confusing as, yeah.
We're not economists here.
Schwartz sent me a paper on this.
Of course he did.
Yeah,
of course
I read it. Yeah. He's like, well, I'm like, I know you explained it to me before. And this guy testified at the trial. The guy's a genius, right?
Yeah.
How long is this? A 50-page paper.
Oh, you read every page?
50-page academic paper. I read it.
Did you
really?
Look at there.
I got a little bored. There was a couple sections I didn't care. A lot of it is based on baseball. And the last few pages are like the Biblia, like references, like whatever. Yeah, all right, 44 pages of actual text. So you get really into it and you kind of understand what they're talking about. But at the same time, it's basically back in 1956, they were like, yeah, the reserve clause, right? If you have free agency in baseball, it won't actually change the competitive balance. And they go, I know it's counterintuitive, but this is what it is. And then sure enough, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Not kind of, it is. So Schwartz has been saying all along and other economists going, yeah, this isn't how it's going to work. There's more variables than just money. Even if it was money, you know, different things can happen. So like, it's what value do you put on the individual? So one school can overvalue an individual recruit and pour more resources. There's a million things to it. It just will not impact. And no matter how many times I say it, the coaches are just paranoid. The administrators don't pay attention. They just go with what the coaches are saying. And then I think some of the media is clueless and I don't mean just general media, but like there's personalities that I think purposefully like being the sky is falling because that's how they get their, like this podcast would do better if we just screamed about how bad everything was all the time.
Yeah. Got to get those clicks, Dan.
I know. And what do we go? We go, yeah, it's not going to matter. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's not, the outrage doesn't generate our things, but it's true.
Well, and that's the thing is again, like you enter into the discomfort zone for the administrators and the coaches. You enter into an era where they cannot control as tightly their player flow in or out, just simply based on playing time and being a good coach and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, then it's, yeah, that's when everything's going to hell in a handbasket because control is slipping out of their grasp. But, hey, the world so far, we're okay. Maybe we don't have to scream for guardrails just yet.
Guardrails! The world was going to end. Maybe next year. That's the thing about saying it's going to die. It's all going to blow up.
Everybody next that's year. Standing around with a sign saying the world is coming to an end, eventually they'll be right. But not yet.
There was this guy.
Not yet.
I did a column on this guy once. There's a guy who used to go to the Masters every year, and he'd stand in the parking lot with the sign saying, you're all going to hell.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
As the people were walking into Augusta National, which most people consider like heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Like, these are golf fans.
Yeah.
Right.
So one day, I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. Like, well, so I stop and I talk to him. I was also like, remember they threw Martha Burke, like she couldn't protest. Like the guy knew the law, though. He's like, oh, I can stand 15 feet from the center line. He had all the things. But I talked to him. I'm like, so does like anybody stop and talk to you as you're screaming at them as they walk into Augusta? Now, like these people are just trying to get in to watch the golf, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're like the first guy all week. I'm like, have you considered changing the tone of your message? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. 10,000 guys walk by. Nobody stops.
Yeah.
Maybe he tries. No. He was convinced that everyone was going to hell. It was like, well, if that's hell, we'll take it.
Right. Yeah. We got the same guys outside the Kentucky Derby at Churchill.
Yeah. Going to hell. It's like, well, that might. Yeah. There's a little more sinning there.
Yeah,
but there yeah, is. People are like, geez, get a pimento cheese sandwich, a couple of beers down Amen Corner, watch Tiger Woods. I mean, if that's hell. Anyway, yeah, maybe he's right, though. That's the thing. I don't know. No, this is not going to happen. Like, just enough with it. It's not going to happen. Well, we can do this next year. I'm going to tell you next year. It's not going to happen.
That's speaking of Sky is Falling. Obviously, you saw it because you tweeted about it. Pat Narduzzi?
Yeah. Pat Narduzzi and Mac Brown, mm-hmm. investigative reporter. It's like the worst buddy journalism movie ever.
It's not Woodward and Bernstein. That's not about it.
It's like Spotlight, except they just
right. Brown and Narduzzi. You want to go? You want to set that one up?
I mean, first Mac Brown says, you know, all these schools are tampering with Drake May, their great quarterback. But he says, don't ask Drake about it. And the reporters go, what schools? Well, I can't say what mm-hmm. schools. Mm-hmm. And I can't say whether there was money involved. Mm-hmm. And it's tampering. And they mm-hmm. say, well, who tampered? Well, it was all agents maybe saying something, something. Like, we've all done investigative reporting. You get these tips, right? Someone says, hey, man, someone's trying to give Drake May money to switch schools. All right, what's your story? Well, I can't tell you the school because I don't know it. And I don't know how much money it is. And I don't even know what really got said. No one really talked to Drake.
You don't know anything.
They just talked to his agent, maybe. Yeah. Like, okay, uh-huh. I'll print that. Yeah. Let me just type that up.
Yeah. And the tip usually just ends with, but if you just do a little digging, you'll be able to find
just do a little digging, yeah. So we got nothing. Mm-hmm. Narduzzi, God bless Narduzzi. I love Narduzzi, but this is not your realm, man. He decides to go further and declare that Drake May got offered $5 million by not one school, but two. What schools? We don't know.
Don't know. Nope. Mysterious. Yep. School A and School B, Dan.
$5 million for Drake May. And yet Drake May stays at Carolina because he loves it. So this is my thing. Who cares if they got offered $5 million and didn't even leave?
Yeah, right.
Because other things matter than just money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
If anything, this whole story is a boon to North Carolina.
It is.
It might be invented by North. You know how great it is to play in North Carolina? My guy gave up $5 million.
There you go. Boom. Good recruiting tool for old Mac, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of works out that way. Mac did not mention the $5 million, but I bet Narduzzi's source was Mac Brown. I don't know.
And the other thing, like, again, I mean, the numbers that have been thrown around here in the NIL collective era are amazing, and based on what exactly? Other than people who may be predisposed to inflate them for their own mm-hmm. gain. You know, and again, I don't know what's fact and fiction. Ross has done a lot more work in this space than I have. But I did have somebody within the last week tell me, you know, there's all this talk of schools raising 15, 20 million, that there may be like a handful of schools that have gotten five, and then some have gotten more than that, 10, 15. But that's it. It's not everybody sitting on a $5 million war chest or $10 million war chest or $15 million war chest.
Well, and we got to remember the difference in pledges and cash on hand, right? I mean, and athletic departments have done with that for years, is we got this much in pledges. Well, sometimes, guess what? Pledges don't come through. And sometimes pledges made years in advance don't come through. So I think a lot of the numbers you hear, especially the ones you hear that are 15, 20 million, well, that's pledges over, because they got it this year, they're assuming they'll get it year two, year three, year four. And that's probably pledges over a three or 4 year span. And cash on hand wise, if you have more than $5 million, maybe even $3 million in your collective on hand, You're in the top percentile, right? You're in the top percentile.
Right.
So that's the situation. A lot of inflated numbers. And because, you know, because there isn't like regulatory stuff, and because we can't see, you know, like contracts and all that stuff. Like you don't really know exactly what's going on, because agents are inflating stuff. School collectives are inflating stuff. Players are kind of probably inflating. So it's hard. It's hard to tell.
Everyone's lying.
That's right. Which is nothing new for college football.
I had an agent, an NIL agent, offer me to see some contract that he supposedly was getting. I said, let me see the bank account.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not doing that. I go, you can write up anything.
Sure.
I mean, like, I'm not, this isn't my first day on the job. Like, come on. Great. It says here, you're going to get paid. Who cares?
Right.
I just think this stuff's way inflated, but it is not impacting the recruiting.
Right.
It just didn't.
No.
And you can say, well, Miami's involved. Well, they also might lose their second best, their number one player to Colorado.
Yeah.
Because Deion Sanders is calling them. And Oregon's doing it. Well, they lost their number one player, Dante Moore. Sports Illustrated, number one recruit in the country, lost him. I thought he was getting $3 million or something. Well, he might owe some dudes in Oregon. What, UCLA's paying him? What collective have they got?
Right. UCLA is not one of the schools you would anticipate being on the front edge of this.
No.
The whole rumor mill is not UCLA is going to steal Oregon's player. At the last minute, the highest rated recruit they've ever signed.
Yeah.
Like number one player in the country. Quarter, the big QB. No. So this stuff is just like, it makes great headlines. It gets everyone riled up. Again, there's an entire media complex that will feed off of this, but it just doesn't pan out.
Yeah.
It's like the boogeyman. There's like this boogeyman out there, this unnamed school that's throwing $5 million at players.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, and here, and you know, like Pat said, I've written about this the last couple of years a lot. And there's one line in a story I wrote in August about collectives where I talked to an assistant coach at school A, and he said, we heard that, you know, they were school A and school B were fighting over a recruit, and the assistant coach at school A had heard that school B, and this is coming from the agent of the player, had heard school B offered $100,000 a year. And school A picked up the phone and called the assistant over at school B, said, are you offering $100,000 a year for this player? And school B said, no, we heard you were offering $100,000 a year. So there's a game being played, a typical agent game being played.
Yep. It got that was in the FBI wiretaps of the at the trial with Christian Dawkins talking to Will Wade and
Sean Miller, right?
And Sean Miller. And yeah. Miller wasn't saying this, but Will Wade thought he was. And he was bidding against nobody.
Yeah.
And you could see how it happened because we had all the tapes. And it was like Miller actually wasn't even involved in the kid. But their people were saying, we're going to go to Arizona on a visit. And there was, I mean, look. Sean Miller got cleared, so nobody in college basketball recruiting thought Arizona would ever pay. So, but no, it triggered. It was enough of a scare and a bluff that LSU thought, oh, look out, I can't let them get out there.
Right.
So it was like they're just driving it up. And you could see it in the thing. So this is what happens. Everyone, I mean, this is what you do, right? You're looking for a job, and you're trying to get the job at McDonald's, and you're 16. You go, well, Burger King's looking for me too. Hey, let's give you an extra quarter, right? I mean, that's just business. So this stuff just, it isn't there. And so the $5 million, come on. And then, you know, here's some other thing with Narduzzi and Mac, and I get it. And I said, I like these guys, but you know, it's about the tampering. It's about the tampering. And here's my thing with it. Everything is freaking tampering.
Yeah.
Everything is tampering.
It's been going on for years.
This is the biggest waste of time. It's going on. What is not tampering?
Right.
Look good out there, Johnny. Hey, good game, kid. Right? You really played well. Is that tampering? I saw a video the other day of Bill Belichick talking to DeAndre Hopkins. Like, man, you're one of the best players I ever seen.
Tampering?
Is he tampering? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. The Patriots could use him. But like, we talked about this. You're recruiting, right? All these kids all come from the same like 150 schools practically. So you call this guy down at City High School and recruiting. I'm recruiting Jeff here, and you go, you know, I'm recruiting Pat, and I say, hey, how's Ross doing over there? How's Ross doing? Boy, I love that kid and his dad. And how's he doing? he only caught 5 passes? Really? Oh, man.
we'd be able to use him so well in our offense.
God, he'd work for, like, how are you going to police this stuff?
Right.
And you know, it's like, it's this whole bit. And here's the thing, like, there's two more things on this, right? So if you don't want to be tampered with, you won't be tampered.
Right.
If a player, the recruiters are not wasting their time talking to kids who don't want to get talked to. And so if the kid is listening, then they're going to talk.
Yeah.
If you just don't return the call or you just, right, it's like anything else. And then it's like if I'm, let's say there was somebody wanting to offer Drake May $5 million, why would you ever sit there and say, like, I don't want this kid to even hear about a life-changing offer?
Mm. Right.
Imagine your life if you're sitting there and going, you later find out that you had this job when you were 21 and someone was willing to offer you life-changing money to do the exact same job, but your boss at the time prohibited him from telling you that they were interested. And you'd be like, that guy's the biggest jerk I've ever met.
Yep.
Like, let him hear it.
Yep. But that's not the way it's set up, Dan, in college football.
College football coaches have to be like jealous boyfriends, like, right? You are not allowed to go out in the club with your friends. Mm-hmm. I find all of this is just be unbelievable waste of energy. It's entertaining, but like, what is Narduzzi hoping will be accomplished here? Or what was it? Texas San Antonio coach tweeted out, like, could we stop?
Yeah.
Who do I have to call? You don't know who to call? It's not tweet.
Yeah, John Duncan gives his name, his number.
Yeah, John,
in fact, we ran into John Duncan in Las Vegas at the Football Foundation stuff. He told a few of us media members, we were crowded around him, he gave us his number, said basically everywhere he goes, he puts his number up, tells coaches and administrators, here's my number, text me, call me. If there's any kind of, you know, tampering or anything you want to report, give me details. Guess what? He's rarely heard from anybody.
Yeah, for sure. That's like Jeff Traylor's got to be like the prime example of exactly what they want to do. And he's not doing, he's going on Twitter to complain.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
How do the coaches switch jobs?
Yeah, right. Especially, hey, most of the players or a lot of the players have agents now. So same, they got the same third-party conduit that that the coaches do.
Yeah, tampering, like, the coaching tamper, you mentioned, like, you know, Dan, how many coaches switched jobs and were preparing for a game, their last game, regular season game, even a bowl game, whatever, and we're talking to another school a whole week? I mean, it's been pretty public. Sure. So many times, even just this past cycle, it's been pretty public that there were discussions with a variety of coaches leading into their last game. You know, I mean, I know, like, last cycle, Lincoln Riley and them like to use the, oh, you know, after Bedlam, I woke up the next morning. It was the first time I heard from USC.
Come on,
man. Like, give me a break, you know? I mean,
it was after the game. He got home and got a message.
Yeah. Okay. Meanwhile, Oklahoma took an L in that last game against Oklahoma State. I personally was shocked to see Hugh Freeze and Liberty tank and lose their last three games, including getting blown out by New Mexico State. Shocked to see Mississippi lose their last three games while Lane Kiffin was flirting with Auburn. Yeah. It's amazing how these
They're asking these players, they're saying that these players, even after the season, should not even hear that anyone else is interested in them.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Unless they declare they're interested. It's like, it's not the human, that's not how humanity works. It's like, hey, if you're not interested in leaving, good for Drake May.
Right.
I mean, he's going to be a legend there. If if he wins the ACC, gets him in the playoffs, he's going to make all the money he wants.
Good, I will say, too, like, if you targeted Drake May and said, we're going to go buy that kid, you did bad scouting.
Yeah,
bad. I mean, that dude's as Carolina as it can get. His dad played there. His brother was a basketball player. He turned down Alabama to go to North Carolina.
I think he was one of, I can't, yeah. It's like Aiden Hutchinson. He said he only got like 9 scholarship offers because everyone knew he was going to Michigan.
Yeah.
It's like, it was kind of disappointing. I didn't really get recruited.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what, I just think it's like the new lament. This is awful. We'll never get a player. Everyone's tampering. It's like, hey man, I don't know. Or it's like, you know, if you go out and there's, you know, if you got a girlfriend and she's talking to other people, you know, who do you blame here? The other guy who's talking to her? I don't know. Maybe you need to do a little better. So I don't know. I'm nonplussed by the scandals of the moment that are ruining the sport.
Narduzzi's still scarred by the Jordan Addison.
Experience. Yeah. That probably is the root of a lot of this.
I think so.
Yeah. And it, you know, I get it, but you can't, you know, you're going to win some, lose some. They got Phil Jerkovich in like 4 minutes.
Yeah, they sure did. Sure did. Got Keaton Slovis last year.
Yeah. It's going to happen. I think the fan bases that really get upset are the ones that they're led by their coach.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, Dabo says they've been doing name, image, and likeness. The name, image, and likeness of God.
Yeah.
Right? That's how he built the program.
I saw that
quote.
I was like, this can't be real. It's just, this can't be real. But lo and behold.
It is so on brand.
It's almost too on brand. That's why I thought there's no way it could be real. It's too on brand. Too good. I was like,
how did you not think of this sooner, Dabo?
Yeah, right.
That's really it. I was like, wow, he just thought of that line. That's a good line.
It's perfect for him. And it actually, there is truth to that's the way he basically tried to infuse everything he did with God and Christianity and all that stuff. The only problem then is like, is God now turning his back on Dabo? Because they ain't as good as they used to be. So I don't know whether it was God or whether it was Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure, but God has perhaps abandoned Dabo the last couple of years.
Podcast attorney Craig Mordock of New Orleans says he claims God wants Clemson boosters to spend more on their collective. That's what pass the plate a second time. I know I don't think Dabo is talking about Catholics, but the Catholic Church knows. Pass it a second time.
That's right.
That's right.
This is, God, bring me a linebacker. That's how he runs his program. That was a great marketing line.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he's going for. So, I'm sure there's going to be some out. One of those atheist groups will file a protest. Like, it's a state employee. Probably illegal what he said. I don't know. Something. I don't know if it's illegal.
Revoke state funding.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that. Yeah. We demand that it's like when PETA sends out that thing at the Super Bowl every year. We demand they do not play the Super Bowl. There's a animal being pigskin because they're playing with the pigskin. Yeah, pretty good. All right. Finally, Ross, you went to the Mike Leach Memorial in Starkville this week. Let's close out with that. We did not get a Mike Leach signing day press conference, unfortunately. He would have left us with some laughs somehow. How was it? How's everyone doing there?
You know, it certainly is a community hurting. You know, there were about 3,000 to 4,000 people that came into the basketball arena for the memorial. It's about a 2-hour memorial, included some really big names. You know, Bob Stoops was there, Barry Switzer was there, Lincoln Riley was there, Sonny Dykes, you know, his team is preparing for a playoff. He showed up and stayed late for an after party type of celebration in downtown Starkville. You had Gardner Minshew come in, and despite, I think he's going to be probably starting this weekend for the Eagles because Jalen Hurts is hurt.
Right.
He comes in. Not only does he come in, and of course, drops the F-bomb on live TV when talking about Mike Leach, and just a fitting line of, you know, he doesn't give any Fs, basically, or didn't give what people thought. And neither does Minshew, and obviously. So it was great. The stories were great. It was more of a there's a lot of laughs. There was a lot of just a celebration of who he was, more of who he was and the quirky, eccentric guy that he was. And, you know, I was in Starkville a couple of days and just talking to people about Mike got led into a story that really is just kind of stunned me at the impact that it's had. It's, you know, been up for about 24 hours and
incredible.
Just, you know, I think we're probably getting close to hundreds of thousands of readers of it from what I've heard from my editors. But, it, you know, it's about Mike Leach growing close to this 38-year-old black woman who owns a restaurant from the Mississippi Delta, is a staunch Democrat, the two completely different people. And Mike Leach grew close to her, loved her food, loved her restaurant, and this past September wrote a check for thousands of dollars to keep the restaurant open. And it just kind of shows you, it's sad that it took death of somebody for that story to emerge. But I think Mike was kind of the guy that didn't want, you know, while he was alive, at least, that story to emerge. But it does give you a window into the guy that he was. You know, I know that he developed over years a perception because of his looseness with his social media and his words sometimes, in his support for Donald Trump and all that stuff. But Mike Leach was a guy that would give, as Bob Stoops like aptly put in the ceremony, would give anyone at any time. And then Bob added on, but he didn't know the concept of time because Mike was always late, or his conversations would go, you know, instead of 15 minutes, would go an hour and 15 minutes. But it you know, I spent, like I said, spent a couple of days there, and it's such an unusual thing. And that's something that was talked about there a lot. Like, this has not happened in 42 years. A sitting SEC head coach passing has not happened since Bo Rain died in a plane crash in, I think, January of 1980, just a couple months into his tenure at LSU. So it's such an unusual thing. And now Zach Arnett is thrown, 36-year-old Zach Arnett is thrown into this position as head coach, trying to prepare the team for a bowl game, keep a recruiting class together, keep the team together from entering the transfer portal. So, man, just a really unusual, unique time there. And Mississippi State has handled it really well. You know, it's an unfortunate circumstance, but they've handled it well. And the stories coming out about Mike are really incredible. And you're seeing a different, kind of maybe a different side of him, or more of a side of him that we maybe didn't necessarily get when he was alive.
Wow, incredible story you wrote there. And I encourage everyone to go to SI.com and find it. That's some next level journalism right there.
Yeah, it was great stuff. And to your point, like, everybody who's come in contact with Leach has a story, you know, and that's the thing. He wasn't just the kind of like drive by, hello, shake your hand, move on kind of guy. He would engage people in conversation to a degree that a lot of quote unquote important people won't do. And it's just, that's how you leave impacts on people.
And I'll add just a little bit about, because everybody wants to know too, and that was a topic there. What happened? What happened? How did this happen? What do you know about what happened? You know, everybody wants to know what happened. That, you know, the pieces are starting to come together. Just acquiring information while I was there that how sick he was during the season, pretty seriously sick, to the point that they didn't think he'd you know, coach one of the games. I think it was the East Tennessee State game. He was pretty bad off. The Georgia game the week before, pretty bad off. Pneumonia type symptoms. Was it like actual pneumonia? I don't know, but it was pneumonia type symptoms that probably were from a chronic heart condition. And he spent a few days in Houston the week that it happened. You know, he had the cardiac event on Sunday morning. In that week, he spent several days in Houston with doctors trying to figure out what was going on with the heart and everything. So it's starting to piece together some things.
Sad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sad. You know, just sad. He just retired, stopped. Maybe we still have him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sad. All right. I want to end with a little bit of an uplifting note. This is my top four signing day names.
Oh, all right.
Maybe you have some others out there. It's hard to keep track of all these guys. So send me your recommendations if they're not on the list. Big fan of Haynes Hammer.
Where's
big
he signing?
Big offensive lineman to Virginia Tech.
Like it. Like
Haynes
it.
Hammer. That, yep, absolutely. Dude Person.
Yeah, I saw a dude.
Number three. Yep, a safety to Central Arkansas. Dude mm-hmm. Person.
Play on dude that perfect. Striped field, that like purple and gray field there.
Dude Perfect. Dude Person.
Yeah.
Smoke Monday's gone, so I don't have that anymore. Here's my new favorite nickname, Tyquarius Sugar Wolf Perry.
Wow.
Sugar Wolf?
S-U-G-A-W-O-L-F, one word.
Sugar Wolf.
According to Aquarius. Yeah, I don't. The Sugar Wolf.
That's right.
He is a defensive lineman signed with Troy. I'd never heard of a Sugar Wolf. It's a little like when he's like Dabo's line about name, image, and likeness in Christ. How did we not have a Sugar Wolf before this? Are there Sugar Wolves out there that I didn't know about? Why do I not know about them?
Probably. Come on.
That's a great nickname. I will do some research on that. Tyquarius Perry. And then finally, I think everyone's number one. Tight end to Florida International, Rowdy Beers.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Dude, I've lived it, brother. I've lived it. Rowdy Beers.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, mom and dad, on that one.
Especially down in Florida. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect. I will give a salute to the first player that actually pancakes him so we can say somebody slammed beers. I got one that's actually, it's not a player, but this name came across.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
There are no rules to this game.
This week, thanks to a sources from a former member of this podcast, Weber State's new football coach's name is Mickey Mental.
Mm. All right.
Not Mickey Mantle, but Mickey Mental. You can go a lot of directions with that one.
Mickey Mental. Yep. All right. I like that. All right. There you go. Keep them coming. I expect a bunch of people are going to hit me up. I mean, it's hard. A lot of kids signing. They're coming from all over.
Yeah.
It's a great day. Really is a great day. People, I always wondered about like the soul of the people who hated signing day.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, kid gets a chance. Who cares? Yeah, it's a stupid. He wore a hat. He threw the hat. Like, or the fans just get so angry that the guy chose the other school. I get the disappointment, but.
Yeah, those are the ones like, I can't quite.
It's not, the day is not about you. It's about them.
Right? Yeah. It's great for the kids. It is fantastic to be involved in.
They chose a different school.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do overlook like the actual thing, which is like, young people are getting free education, you know, like it's like, there's this thing.
Yeah.
There's this thing. And a lot of them that maybe probably couldn't have afforded if an education, you know, at that level.
And they worked hard and they dreamed and their parents sacrificed and the family sacrificed coaches. And there's a heck of a lot more Sugar Wolf Perrys than Arch Manning, right?
Yeah.
A lot more Rowdy Beers.
Yeah. And I'll say it in all sports too. It's a great thing. You go to a high school and go to one of those ceremonies and you see 10 kids or 12 kids or whatever signing in six different sports. And some are going to small colleges and some are going to big universities. It's awesome. It's a great thing. You can feel, just see how the pride and satisfaction and happiness of them, their parents, and the people that coached them and their teammates.
And you can't, if you don't get to campus, can't be tampered with.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's a logical start. All right, that's our signing day pod. We'll be back. We're going to do the rest of the bowl bonanza next week, right after Christmas Day. We'll do the rest of the games, and we'll have a couple next week for you. We want to wish everybody a happy holiday, whatever your holiday is, and we appreciate you y'all listening throughout the year to us. Getting exciting. We're getting into the really good bowl games, and obviously the playoff coming up. So it's funny. It's like the playoff just takes back burner for a few weeks, but we got plenty to say about that. So appreciate you listening. Continue to subscribe. You know, you want a Christmas present? Give your buddy a subscription. It's free.
There you go.
Get what you pay for, but hey, it's free.
Happy holidays, you filthy animals.
Talk to you later.